The Apostles and the Torah, Reconstructing the First Century Church, Part 1. Section 1. Historical Premise, The Apostles Within Judaism. 1. A Jewish Worldview and Scriptural Framework. The Apostles lived and wrote entirely within the intellectual and spiritual world of Second Temple Judaism. Their Bible consisted solely of the Torah, Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. When they spoke of Scripture, they referred to what modern readers call the Tanakh, the only authoritative corpus then recognized by Israel. 1. Concepts such as faith, law, grace, and righteousness drew their meaning from this Hebraic environment. The Greek of the New Testament is saturated with Semitic idioms. Ecclesia, usually rendered church, translates the Hebrew Kahal Yisrael, assembly of Israel. The Greek pistis, faith, corresponds to the Hebrew emunah, which connotes faithfulness, loyalty, and covenant reliability, not mere mental assent, too. Likewise, nomos, law, translates Torah, meaning instruction or divine teaching. To the apostolic mind, Torah expressed God's revealed will and character, not a burdensome legal code. Consequently, every apostolic argument about faith and obedience presupposes the Torah's validity. When Paul writes that the law is holy, and the commandment holy, righteous, and good, Rom 7:12, he is restating a Jewish conviction shared by all his contemporaries. James echoes the same, "Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this one will be blessed in what he does," Jas 1:25. Such language would be unintelligible if the Torah were thought obsolete. 2. Fulfill and abolish as halakhic terms. Jesus' declaration in Matthew 5 verse 17, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets, I came not to abolish but to fulfill," is a precise halakhic formulation. In rabbinic usage, to abolish, betel, a commandment meant to misinterpret or to weaken its authority, to fulfill, lekayem, meant to interpret correctly and to live it out. 3. Thus, fulfillment signifies faithful enactment, not termination. Tim Haig notes that these terms appear frequently in rabbinic midrashim. To destroy the Torah is to misinterpret it. To fulfill the Torah is to establish its true sense. 4. Jesus therefore positions himself within the continuum of halakhic teachers, claiming ultimate interpretive authority. His ensuing examples, anger as murder, lust as adultery, mercy as the essence of justice, are internalizations, not negations. For a focused, text-driven treatment of what Yeshua meant by "I did not come to abolish but to fulfill" in Matthew 5 verses 17 to 19, see Supplemental Study 1, Yeshua's Halakha and the Fulfillment of Torah. 3. Torah as Covenant Instruction. In the Hebrew Scriptures, Torah is relational. It is given to a redeemed people as guidance for covenant faithfulness, Deuteronomy 6 verses 20 to 25. Obedience is the natural response of love. "If you love me, keep my commandments," Exodus 20:6, John 14 verse 15. This covenant logic pervades the New Testament. Paul insists that faith establishes the law, Rom 3:31. For him, grace does not abolish obligation but empowers it. Modern readers often project later theological categories, law versus grace, Judaism versus Christianity, back onto the first century. Yet those oppositions did not exist for the apostles. As Mark Nanos observes, Paul's arguments make sense only inside Judaism. He reasons as a Jew to other Jews about how the nations may join Israel's covenant. 5. 4. Sin, righteousness, and Torah. The apostolic definition of sin derives directly from the Torah. Sin is lawlessness, anomia, 1 John 3 verse 4. The Hebrew idea of chata, to miss the mark, implies deviation from the Torah's instruction, the mark of righteousness. Thus, to walk in the Spirit, Gal 5:16, is to live in alignment with Torah's moral intent, now empowered by the indwelling presence of God. For first-century believers, Torah observance was not a means of earning salvation but the lifestyle of the redeemed. Obedience expressed gratitude and covenant loyalty. The apostles' moral exhortations, "honor parents, avoid idolatry, care for the poor," are direct citations or paraphrases of the Torah. The distinction between moral and ceremonial law, common in later theology, would have been foreign to them. 5. The continuity of scripture and authority. The apostolic writings constantly appeal to the Torah and prophets as their standard. When Paul praises the Bereans for testing his teaching, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so, Acts 17 verse 11, those scriptures were the Tanakh. Likewise, his exhortation to Timothy, "From childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation," 2 Tim 3:15-17, refers exclusively to the Hebrew Bible. In that context, Torah is not antithetical to salvation but instrumental to it. It reveals God's righteousness and points to Messiah's atoning work. The apostles' appeal to the Torah also shaped their hermeneutic. They read Yeshua's life as the climactic embodiment of the law's purpose. Matthew structures his gospel around 5 discourses, mirroring the 5 books of Moses. Luke presents Jesus' journey to Jerusalem as a new exodus. John depicts him as the incarnate Word, echoing Sinai's revelation, 6. Such patterns reveal reverence for the Torah's authority, not its abrogation. 6. Jewish sectarian context. Understanding apostolic Torah observance requires awareness of Second Temple sectarianism. Judaism of the first century was not monolithic. Pharisees emphasized oral tradition, Sadducees adhered to the written text and temple ritual, Essenes pursued purity in separatist communities, Zealots fused Torah zeal with nationalism. Yeshua and his disciples engaged this diverse landscape as an interpretive movement within it. Their disputes with the Pharisees over Sabbath healing, hand washing, and divorce were debates over halakhic detail. As E.E.P. Sanders notes, Jesus' arguments belong to the continuum of Jewish lawkeeping. His criticism is reformative, not revolutionary. 7. When he declares that the Sabbath was made for man, Mark 2 verse 27, he restores the Torah's humanitarian purpose, not its repeal. 7. Pharisaic and apostolic halakha. The apostles inherited this pattern of interpretive debate. Acts portrays them worshipping in the temple, Acts 2 verse 46, attending synagogue, 13:14-15, and teaching Torah ethics to mixed audiences. Their halakhic distinctiveness lay in recognizing Yeshua as the authoritative interpreter promised in Deuteronomy 18 verse 18, a prophet like Moses. They believed that his rulings represented the pure intention of Torah. For a data-driven overview of Acts as evidence of ongoing temple, Sabbath, and festival observance, see Supplemental Study 2. Paul's disputes with contemporaries like the Circumcision Party, Gal 2, were not over Torah itself but over its application to Gentile converts. He opposed making circumcision a prerequisite for inclusion, arguing instead that faith in Messiah conferred covenant membership. Nevertheless, his own practice remained rigorously observant, circumcising Timothy, Acts 16 verse 3, taking Nazarite vows, 18:18, 21:26, and hastening to Jerusalem for the Feast of Shavuot, 20:16. 8. The meaning of faith and obedience. For the apostles, faith and obedience were inseparable. James articulates this synthesis, "Faith without works is dead," Jas 2:26. Paul's expression obedience of faith, from 1:5-16:26, conveys the same principle, faithfulness that produces righteous action. Both employ the covenantal semantics of emunah, not the post-enlightenment dichotomy between belief and behavior. Hence, the apostolic proclamation of salvation by grace through faith does not contradict Torah. Rather, grace, chesed, is the covenantal mercy that restores relationship, while Torah defines that relationship's ethical form. Yeshua's teaching of the two greatest commandments, love of God and neighbor, Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, Lev 19:18, summarizes, not replaces, the law, Matt 22:40. 9. Summary of Section 1. 1. The apostles operated wholly within Jewish categories of covenant and obedience. 2. They viewed Torah as divine instruction, not legal bondage. 3. Fulfillment meant correct interpretation and embodiment, not annulment. 4. The faith, emunah, signified covenant loyalty, not mere belief. 5. All scripture referenced by the apostles was the Tanakh, its authority remained absolute. 6. Apostolic freedom referred to release from sin's penalty, not from God's law. Closing section 1. The evidence from language, culture, and scripture confirms that the first century apostolic community perceived itself not as departing from Judaism but as its truest expression. They understood Messiah Yeshua as the living Torah, the incarnate Word through whom God's instruction was perfectly revealed and internally written upon the hearts of His people.